Can't buy me love. Welcome back, Wisconsin and beyond. It's the 3 o'clock hour. So here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, we are talking about money. Today, our special guest is Bob Lord. Guy has been a tax lawyer for 30 years and is helping us understand how the ultra wealthy avoid paying taxes. There's a couple of key strategies. We've been talking about them. One of the key strategies is real estate acquisition. Bob, you were explaining how there is this fiction that real estate depreciates. Tell us more.
Well, yeah, it's a fiction. There's an assumption that the real estate is going to reduce in value. So real estate owners are allowed a deduction where it can offset other income and eliminate the tax on that income while the real estate is going up. By the way, sometimes it's even more of a fiction because there can be a lender who has a lien on the property and has something called a non-recourse loan where only the property can pay the loan. And the depreciation can, the risk, even if it is real depreciation, it's not the building owner that suffers the economic consequence, it's the lender. But the building owner still gets the tax benefit. So you have that going on while they're just continuing to hold real estate, maybe doing like-kind exchanges, and then finally they die. And real estate holders almost always are working off of debt. It's rare that you have someone with half $1 billion worth of real estate and no debt. So they die. Well, their estate tax is only on the net value. So the debt could reduce it to something that's really not very much tax to pay. Meanwhile, all this gain, the real economic gain plus the recapture of those depreciation deductions, all of that just gets wiped clean with this step up in basis rule.
Yeah.
And what I realized afterwards is that Ron Johnson knows this world. This is the world he lives in. It was so cynical for him to ask me that because he knew better.
Oh, he absolutely knows better. Let's listen to the question, Brian. My fantastic producer, Brian Kelly, found the question from your hearing at the Senate's Finance Committee earlier today. Let's take a listen to Ron Johnson's cynicism on florid display this morning.
Because I've got a noon meeting and apologize, I haven't been here for the full time because this is an incredibly important hearing. Let me state at the outset, I think growing income inequality is a real problem. It truly is. I think we all have to recognize that. Also, I think what's undeniable is our tax code is a grotesque and complex monstrosity. And I guess I come at this from the standpoint, if we were to simplify and rationalize it, we could fix an awful lot of these things. And the example I'll use is, I know the chairman would like to tax unrealizable gains, which I think violates a basic tenet of taxation, wherewithal to pay. There's another way of addressing this, though. One of the problems is about 73% of corporate income is never double taxed. It builds up inside these corporations. I think it distorts our M&A market. So what I've suggested is, why not treat the 5% of American businesses that are C corps like we do 95% of other businesses and tax the business income every year at the ownership level? I know C corps would scream, but it would go a long way toward addressing that particular problem. I've presented that to my colleagues. It's a way of simplifying it. Another problem we have is capital gains tax. It's just an arbitrary number. It really makes no sense. I mean, what's trying to address the fact that it's unfair to tax inflationary gains, correct? So why not just index out the inflationary gains? It's very easy to do, and then tax that at ordinary rates. Now, I just think it's bizarre that we have different levels of taxation for different types of income. From my standpoint, income is income. So that's the direction we ought to move our tax code toward, simplify, rationalize it. Like I said, it's a rational thought to say income is income. You only tax income when you have the wherewithal to pay. If you base things on certain principles, I think that'd go a long way toward fixing things. I did want to ask Mr. Gupta and Mr. Lord, you're I think both of you complained about stepped up basis, but isn't it true that stepped up basis is applied to assets that are subject to gift and estate tax? So if you were to start taxing the stepped up basis, you're double taxing that. Again, I realize there's certain assets that are not subject to, because they're exempt, you have the personal exemption, but beyond that, you'd be grossly unfair to provide a gift or estate tax, and then on top of that, tax the gain. Would you not agree with that?
Senator, I would.
There's so much there. This is Ron Johnson doing Ron Johnson, sort of at his finest. Boy, did I just hear Senator Johnson say that we should tax all income at the same rate? Super. Let's just crank up that capital gains tax then, Senator. I mean, what? Bob, at the base here, the major loopholes that we're talking about are stepped up basis, this concept that rich people can effectively borrow against their assets, which reduces their income. It's the buy, borrow, die tactic. And then, of course, this like-kind exchanges where real estate transactions effectively create a massive tax loophole. We've been talking about flow-through deductions. What do you think is the single most effective tax reform that people should be asking the candidates that they're considering to endorse to help make our tax code more fair? And I realize that it's hard to boil it down to just one thing, but if we could do one, maybe I'll give you two things that we could do to make the tax code more fair if we implemented them.
So one thing I would do is close the loopholes we know about where they're just not serving any purpose. And though that discussion, it could be a little bit boring, let's not get into that part of it, but there's known loopholes, there's known fixes to them, get those done. The second is we have to tax the growth in wealth for what it is. It's true economic income. And I'll give you an example. If I hold an asset that gets 10% more valuable every year, grows at a 10% rate. And for a billionaire, that kind of thing is not unheard of.
Right.
Hard for you and I to get a 10% increase in value every year. Not so hard when you have enough money to go into venture capital funds and be an angel investor and that kind of thing. So you have an asset, you've held it for 30 years and it's grown 10% per year. And at the very end, you sell it. And let's say you're not even going to die and avoid the gain. Let's say you sell it. And all that gain is taxed at 23.4%, okay? That's equivalent economically. You would have come out in the same place if each year your gain were taxed at only a 10% rate. So effectively, we're taxing these people, if it's an annual tax, like your tax is annual, your income tax is annual, my income tax is annual. If you did their taxation annually, it would be a 10% rate. So we would have the richest people in the country paying tax on their economic income at a 10% rate.
And that's if they don't dodge the tax by dying.
Exactly.
And letting it pass. Bob, we've got to leave it there. I know you will be back for this segment. It's been a wonderful 30 minutes of Maggie and the Millionaires talking money. We're going to put taxtherich.com where you can check out how all of this works in detail. It's a 15-minute video. Go check it out, taxtherich.com. We'll put that in our show blurb. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Actress Kate Walsh is next.
So Obamacare is still in place, and we've doubled the debt. I don't feel like my time here has been particularly successful.